You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to cover one story that happened Sunday, and that was the march in New York City. For those that are concerned, or at least give you the impression they're concerned about the planet, human beings, and climate change. And what's interesting, it's really not about climate change. I wish it were, because then you could argue with them the evidence. See, the evidence is rather clear. There has been climate change for hundreds of thousands of years. The issue is man the cause of climate change today? And the answer to that is absolutely not. At best, we're a rounding error, because the evidence of that is the fact that today we've had 18 years of the temperatures. They've been fluctuating, but they've been flat. And the reason why that's important is the models used to predict climate change, namely rising temperatures, are wrong and have been proven wrong time and time again. And the reason is clear. They overestimate the effects of amplification to get their numbers. That's where the errors are made in these climate models. They're predicting an amplification effect of about 3. Unfortunately, it's about 0.5, and that's the problem. It's not that climate models, these computer climate models, aren't useful. They are useful, but they're not very accurate. As a matter of fact, I would say almost useless for predicting temperature changes on planet Earth. They have just been wrong time and time again. The actual empirical evidence from satellites, weather balloons, refutes the predictions that the temperature is going up, up, and up. And that's the problem. Now, one of the tactics is, well, let's not emphasize temperature anymore, because that's really putting the lie to this propaganda. And it is propaganda. And I've had several shows. I must have had a half a dozen shows on this. And it's becoming very tiresome to repeat what I just said, but there's a lot of evidence there. And what I suggest you do, just to get up to speed on some of it, is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S .wordpress.com. And I have a number of videos, a few articles, a number of videos on both pro and con the so-called global warming. And what's interesting, because I have a long memory, at one time, the concern was about global cooling, and then some of the very people that were spreading the alarmist view that we got to watch out for global cooling changed their tune to global warming. And now, when the evidence is showing that we haven't had any warming for 18 years, they changed their rhetoric first to climate change. And now the new buzzword, it's not really new, it's been around for several years, is climate justice. Climate justice. And that really gives the game away, because most of the people that are propagating these lies, this propaganda, are on the left. They are they're communists, socialists, welfare statists, who want larger government, want to destroy and eliminate the capitalist system, free enterprise. That's what they're about. The problem is, the people have seen the failures of communism and socialism in both the Soviet Union and in China and other places, Cuba. You don't have to go very far from the United States if you want to see a failure of communism. And the fact that these have been totalitarian regimes, authoritarian regimes. It's all about control. It's the state, the government controlling every aspect of your life. You see, the so-called environmentalists today, not all of them, but many of them, are what I call and other people have called watermelons. They're green on the outside. In other words, they support climate change. How could you not believe that man is responsible for climate change? Well, I had an open mind and several years ago, at least four or five, started to dig into this. With an open mind, I had no set opinion one way or the other. I was interested, what's all the ruckus about? What's all the concern about? And anyone that does that, one of the first things you learn is there's a lot of conflicting points of view. You don't know who to believe. So I kept on digging and digging and digging, and I quickly said, the people that are empirically oriented, that are scientists, not just any scientist, climatologist, and there's still going to be differences of opinion. Most of the ones that work for the government, get their money, they're paid for the government, get grants from the government, that includes university professors. There's a bias there. Because one of the things they like to point out, well, people on the other side are funded by the oil companies. Why would the oil companies fund this? Because a superficial examination of the evidence says, you're out of your mind. And why do I say that? There are many causes of climate change. There's not one principal primary cause of climate change. There are many. Now, I'll tell you the primary driver of climate change. If you're inside, I want you to get out of your chair, go outside and look up, and you see that yellow sphere in the sky? It's called the sun. That is the primary driver of climate change. But that's not the only one. There are others. Volcanoes. When they erupt, and we have thousands of volcanoes, both in the under the ocean as well as on land, and when they erupt, eject ash into the atmosphere, and it spreads globally, and one of its impacts is to cool the temperature of the Earth. So you have the sun, cosmic rays is another one, and there are others. But when you look at all the evidence, what you see is a pattern of periods like roughly 100,000 year glacial periods. And there's variance in that 100,000 years. Some, roughly the way I look at it, in any estimate, sometimes you're going to be a few years under, a few years above, but roughly every 100,000 years, the Earth goes into a period that is commonly referred to as an ice age. Then you also have periods, so-called interglacial periods, of roughly 10,000 years. We're in about the 12,000 years of that interglacial period. But in actuality, the temperatures are getting cooler, not warmer, cooler. So if you look at the ice core data, it doesn't support the theory that carbon dioxide is causing temperature changes. As a matter of fact, it's just the reverse. Temperature changes, driven by the sun and other causes, are driving the increase in carbon dioxide. Because you need to understand that both our oceans and land masses, the biosphere on the land, accounts for roughly 93% of the carbon dioxide. Man, only 7%. And there's two important points. Carbon dioxide is a trace gas. And it has been going up. And I agree with the data. It's going up. But what's the cause of it? And I think the answer is we don't really know. There are several causes. Just like there are several causes, actually many causes for climate change, there are many causes for the increase in carbon dioxide. But most of the carbon dioxide is in the oceans and is released by plant life on land. Every time we breathe, we're exhaling carbon dioxide. It's a trace gas. It's over 365 parts per million, parts per million. That's why it's called a trace gas. Yes, it's a greenhouse gas, but what's the most important greenhouse gas? It's water vapor. water vapor. And that's one of the major amplifiers. And the problem, it's the amplified effects of the greenhouse effect have not been 3. There have been less than 1. It's right around 0.5. That's the heart of what's wrong with these climate models. They're simply haven't been good predictors because they really don't understand what's going on. And they will admit they don't do what they call precipitation very well. Precipitation is like rain or snow. In other words, you'd really need to understand the mechanism by which clouds are created by water vapor. When water vapor condenses, it forms clouds. But it's important where those clouds are formed. In terms of they can reduce the effect of warming, for example, by being created at higher altitudes and reflecting sun as it's coming in. And the other thing is their impact on rain and snow. When the clouds form, they can be further condensed into liquids, water, what we call rain. And if it's cold out, snow or sleet. All of this is simply not well understood by the people that put together these climate models. And what's key is, until you understand cloud formation, and until you understand how water vapor is the most important greenhouse gas, by far. It's not carbon dioxide. So the climate models upon which much of the so-called climate warming or climate change are based are fundamentally flawed. And the theory has been disproved time and time again by the data. In other words, the predictions, one of the reasons you have these models is to predict future increases or decreases in temperatures. And what you need to do is compare what there are many of these climate models, did what they predict come true? And the answer is no. The temperatures are significantly below what these leading so-called climatologists or geophysicists are predicting. So that's the problem. If you try to talk science, a lot of these people don't understand the science. They've been brainwashed by Al Gore's movie, which had a number of problems with it. I could do a show on just the movie. That's rather passe. I'm not going to give that movie any more plugs, but it had some fundamental mistakes, and it was designed to scare you. But what's this all about? That's the question. Why do they keep coming back to this? It's like a rant. They keep coming back, and they're trying to scare you. They're using fear to scare you. Don't you want to save the planet? I think the planet can take care of itself quite well. I think the planet will be around for a lot longer than the human race will be on this planet, because species are becoming extinct every day. Most of the species that have been on the planet are extinct before we were even on the planet. So extinction of species is not new. It continues, and we're just one possible, I hope it doesn't happen, species that could go extinct. You see, the conventional wisdom today, we have too many people on the planet. We have over 7 billion, and they all need food, clothing, and they all want to consume goods and services. We have too many people. Those are the population controllers that want to, really, when you push them to the wall, kill people. Because that's where the logic of the reasoning leads. I say, if you truly believe that, well, you're first. If you really believe people are a problem, then your suicide, you should be first. Be my guest. You don't see them doing that, do you? Now, let's be serious for a moment. I don't think that's the problem, because more and more people, what do more and more people mean? It means more and more specialization, more and more division of the labor, more and more creativity. More and more geniuses being born and applying their genius to create solutions to the world's problem. Because what's happened in the last 200 years is the growth of production throughout the world. In other words, the world today economically is a lot better off than it ever has in its entire history. Today, the common man have goods and services that only kings, and even they, didn't have 200-300 years ago. Think of cars, think of television sets, think of air travel, think of the advances in medicine and the diseases that are being prevented and cured, all because of more people, from under a billion to over 7 billion. And with that increase in population, yes, we've used resources, but the standard of living throughout the world has been going up, up, and up steadily. Does that mean everyone has a high standard of living? No. But progress is being made slowly but surely. Now, what do these watermelons that are green on the outside, red on the inside? In other words, they're all for the environment, and they all believe in climate change. What do they really want? They want to destroy the capitalist system. They want to destroy free enterprise and replace it with some form of socialism, or more general term, collectivism, where they know better. They know better. You see, it's fundamentally elitist. They, the elite, they know better. How dare you disagree with them? They don't want debate. They want to claim that so-called climate change is a settled matter in science. Nothing in science is settled. It's all subject to anyone in the future refuting a hypothesis or theory. What's frustrating, you really wish these people would take one or more basic science courses. Just for an example, take geology, physical geology. And get a little perspective. And it's arrogant to think man is the problem and is causing climate change. It's almost laughable when you think about it. Man? Let me give you an example. If the sun were to stop shining, it didn't rise tomorrow, how fast do you think most life, including human life, would die? Rather quickly. Because it would get cold real quick, real quick. And we're a more important cause than the sun? Give me a break. That lacks basic common sense. Let me give you another example. I suggest if you believe in climate change that you pick up a newspaper, and usually it's in the back, or you can go online and do this. Every day online or in a newspaper, you will see, no matter where you are, I'm in Dallas, what were the high temperatures of the day and what were the low temperatures. And usually the spread is typically 10, 20, some cases 30 degrees or more. But there's a spread, a significant spread between the low temperature of the day, usually early in the morning, and the high temperature of the day, usually between 3 and 4 o'clock. But there's a spread. What are we talking about in terms of the empirical evidence so far? For the last over 150, now 160 years, the temperature has gone up 0.7 degrees centigrade. 0.7 degrees centigrade. Not even a whole degree centigrade. Yet every day around the world, we have a lot of variability in terms of the daily high and low temperature. Now, what is the proper reaction to these changes in temperature? Well, the simplest way, if it's too hot, take off clothing. If it's too cold, put on clothing. Not very hard to understand, and people have been doing this for time immemorial. When it's hot out, take your clothes off, and when it's cold out, wear more clothing. Wear additional layers. If you're going outside, wear a coat. That's common sense, and humans understand that. It's called adapting to your environment. Now let's take it a step further. Because of the progress made in science, technology, and the innovation, today in the United States, most Americans, and I would say nearly all, have electricity in their houses. That provides light. It also provides electricity to keep our food cool, as well as able to cook it in an oven. But it also provides something else that's important. In the summer, especially if you're in Dallas, it's hot. So you have air conditioning run by electricity that keeps your house cool. And in the winter, that same electricity heats your house. That's called progress. Now, it's not using logs or wood to heat your house. It's using, for example, in Texas, coal as fuel to generate electricity, as well as natural gas. But through the United States, hydroelectric power and nuclear power are all used to generate electricity that provides warmth in the winters and air conditioning in the summers, and that makes it comfortable for people to live and work, whether it's in your home or where you go to work. That's what's called progress. That's what's called prosperity. That's what's also called economic growth. It's all beneficial, and that's how you adapt. You take advantage of technology. You take advantage of the advances in science, and you take advantage of innovation. Now, I'm looking right now at two computers, and I'm old enough to understand this. 50 years ago, you didn't have these computer screens that I'm looking at to look at. We had computers 50 years ago, but they were primarily big mainframe computers. And if you had a program and wanted to use them, you had to key punch the data in your program on these cards. You didn't have what you have today, the internet, or these applications that you can click on and accomplish. It makes you a lot productive and enables you to research things. For example, this show, in preparing for the show, I accumulated or aggregated a number of important videos as well as articles and posted it as a page. Later today, later this evening, I will post this radio show to my blog, prompopops.wordpress.com, but also post it to the service that serves up these podcasts. All of this is relatively new. In my lifetime, initially, this capability simply did not exist. But that's the advances that we've seen. At one time, there were no airplanes. There were no cars. But in the last 110, 120 years, we've seen advances that have made travel easier. You see, at one time, people lived in the same place most of their life, and they didn't really go far, maybe 5 to 10 miles at most. They were born, raised, educated, and died more or less in the same place. Yes, there were a few courageous people that immigrated from Europe to the United States, but most people, wherever they were born, most likely that's where they were going to die. They didn't travel much because it was difficult to travel and dangerous to travel and somewhat expensive to travel. Not anymore. I live fairly close to the college campus. I could walk, but I don't. I drive my car, and round trip, it's about 5 miles. Now, I've lived elsewhere in Dallas where round trip, it was 10 or 15 miles. Not too many years ago, 100. Few people travel that much. Yes, you had horses and you had carriages, and that was the primary mode of transportation. But what's the problem with horses? You know the problem with horses. Nature calls, and in the streets of your major cities and towns and villages, the roads would be filled with dangerous manure that were breeding places for diseases. So when we had the car replacing the horse and buggy, one thing that happened, we had less disease, and that meant longer lifespans, and it also meant more people. See, what's happened over 100 years is the life expectancy has gone up as the standard of living has gone up, and what went down, mortality rates. The reason why women had a lot of children is many of them died in their first years. All of that is due to the advances in science. What's happened to science today, especially in the climate area, it has been politicized, and that's too bad because you're not getting a totally unbiased view of what the empirical results are. Many of you still think that man is the cause of climate change. Man is the cause of climate change because it's driving up the amount of CO2, carbon dioxide, in the air, and that is a pollutant, a dangerous pollutant. No, it's not. You're exhaling, aren't you? You're putting CO2 in the atmosphere. But don't get alarmed. When the temperature rises, what happens? It heats the oceans. And what happens in the oceans when they're heated? They release, yes, carbon dioxide. Conversely, when the temperatures fall, what happens? The CO2 returns to the ocean. The ocean acts both as a source and a sink of CO2. It becomes dissolved in the oceans. So it's temperature changes that drive changes in carbon dioxide, not the other way around. And there are many things that are causing climate change, not just man's activity. I'm not saying that there's not climate change. I believe in climate change because I believe in the evidence, long-range evidence, that says we've had long periods where the Earth has been covered with glaciers, so-called ice ages, and we've also had warming periods, such as what we're in now. And I always ask the question, what's the optimum temperature of the planet? I don't know. Do you? And if you're panicked about carbon dioxide going up, remember, there have been periods when it's been 10 times what it is now. And we have nuclear submarines that, if you're aboard, have much higher levels of carbon dioxide than what you have typically on the Earth. It's not a pollutant. It's necessary for life. It's the food that plants need to grow. Yet carbon dioxide has been demonized by people that have an agenda. And the agenda is this. They're using this to cripple the capitalist system by trying to convince you that we should cut back on our use of coal, oil, natural gas, and nuclear energy, the very fuels that we need to increase the lifespans, increase the standard of living of everyone in the world. You see, the watermelons marched Sunday in New York. The communists, the socialists, the welfare statists, the progressives, the Democrats, and sadly some Republicans marched. I call them the dummies on the street, the dots. The dots were marching. The dummies on the street were marching. And they're demanding climate justice. Climate justice. What is climate justice? It's another phrase for wealth redistribution, where the state takes the money that you earned and gives it to someone else because you're not worthy. That's the arrogance. That's the totalitarianism of the people marching yesterday. They're elitists. They think they know better when their ignorance is on parade. And they were. It was a large parade. And I have several videos you can look at it. The estimates are maybe about 300,000. I don't know. But there were a lot of people out there. And they were really tying up traffic in New York City. It wasn't well planned in that regard. But you have to look at some of the placards that the people had. This, ladies and gentlemen, has nothing to do about climate. What it has to do is a political agenda of the far left, the communists, the socialists, the welfare statists, that know that big government has in the past and is today failing big time. The problem is not climate change. The problem is big government. And the collectivists, no matter what their party label, are doing to try to destroy or kill the goose that's laying the golden eggs, namely free market capitalism. That's what this is about, because many of those people are socialists, Marxists, lefties. I call them the lunatic left, the lying lunatic left, because they have to lie what their real agenda is about. And what they want to do is tax your consumption of energy and take those taxes and give it to their friends wherever their friends are. This is using the state to coerce you into paying taxes. In other words, stealing your money and giving it to their friends. Using the state to steal. That's what this is about. This has nothing to do with science. It's using the big lie of global warming to try to first scare you in supporting agenda that would mean higher electric prices for you and me In other words, it would cost you more to heat your home or air condition your home. It would cost you significantly more to provide fuel for your car. That's what this is about. So if you're still believing in climate change, my first reaction is you need to do a lot of homework. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You will see videos on both sides. But if you closely examine what's being said, you'll quickly come to the conclusion that the evidence does not support the predictions of these computer climate models. And the reason is simple. The models simply do not understand what's going on because they've been highly inaccurate, terrifically inaccurate. I'm for reason and using that reason to make observations and let the facts or the data either support or not support an hypothesis. And the problem is the hypothesis, the predictions of these global climate models. Yeah, they have a lot more computer power, but their predictions are been terrible. And they've been misleading about it, very misleading. And they've been tampering with the data as well. And what's driving this is money from the government to support politicians who want to grow the size of the government and cripple free market capitalism, whether it's in the United States or any other country. This is very much a political movement. And they were on parade in New York City Sunday. The watermelons were on parade. They're green on the outside and red on the inside. Now, does that mean everyone that was marching has this political agenda? No. You're always going to have the ignorant, the naive, the good-intentioned people that mean well but don't do their homework, don't ask questions. And you need to ask a lot of questions about this subject. It's not a simple subject to talk about. Every time I do a show on climate change, I have to review a lot of information. And while I had several hours to do that, I could have spent another 10 hours just getting past information and trying it, boiling it down. There's a lot to cover here. One video I suggest you maybe start with is there's one entitled, I think, Climate Change, or I forget the exact title. It's either, Climate Change in 12 Minutes. Matter of fact, let me bring that up. Yeah, Climate Change in 12 Minutes. I would recommend starting there. Now, I've put in some videos that I would first visit, one being George Carlin on global warming. That's for those who like a little comedy, and I think that's probably a better place to start. And then there's this animation, The Global Warming Hoax Explained for Dummies. That would be my second choice. But if you just want to go to the science, then go to Climate Change in 12 Minutes. And yes, the gentleman is what they call a skeptic or a denier. I would put myself in that school, but I'm not an alarmist. I believe the climate is changing. What I don't believe is man is responsible for that change. At best, it's a rounding error, folks. There are too many other causes that are much more important that, in other words, greatly influence climate, and it's not man, because this has been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. Our history is less than 2,000 years old, and there are a number of other movies on this that you can watch. I put some of the better ones on there. Now, an expert on this is Richard S. Lindzen. He's a PhD in the subject from MIT. Now, that's more of a serious vein. I sort of gave, in preparing these videos for your consideration, different points of view. And I also have videos on the actual parade. But don't be sucked into this, because it's very easy to be sucked into this. You don't know who to believe. You get a lot of peer group pressure, because a lot of you don't want to spend the time to learn about this. You're not good at science. You're not good at math. Well, if you're not good at science and you're not good at math, maybe you shouldn't have an opinion on this, or at least try to consider both sides, because you need to do this. Because if you don't pay attention and they succeed, what happens? Government gets bigger, you get more taxes, and guess what? Your electric bills will go up, your price of gasoline will go up. This is what these people want. And I think they're nuts. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think these people are lunatics. And they talk both sides of their mouths. Because will they give up their comfortable homes, their computers, their cars? No. And that's the problem with the elites. Don't do as I do, do as I say. We know better. We're smarter than you. No, you're not. You haven't done your homework. And you want to really decrease the standard of living of people in the United States and Europe because you don't do your homework? No one is going to stand for this. Congress is not going to pass these taxes, although there are a lot of people in Congress and the Democratic Party that are behind it. The problem is the American people aren't. They know when they're being lied to, and they know when they're being conned, and they're not going to fall for this climate con game. And that's what it is. It's a con game, and you're the one that are being fleeced. It's a dollars and cents issue, and it's your standard of living that they're trying to decrease. So throw the bums out. If you want to be a fool and join the parade, you can, but it's the parade of fools because they're fundamentally wrong, and that's what's sad about it. With that, I'll close my show. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.